I think actually the government is probably not bad at catching people who do outright fraud against the government. First of all, anybody who goes into this business knows that there's an inspector general community. There are significant controls of the government. So when you commit a criminal act, you know, it has to be very well thought out in order to escape eventual detection. And the biggest problem is it's usually someone in your own circle who is careless with the information or boasting or leaves something on email that eventually provides a clue for the government.
Now, in this case, it involved a company that's been in the news a little bit, that EAC Tech, an Alaska Native Corporation. But from what we can tell, it looks like it was employees there, but not something that was corporately sanctioned or part of the company's modus operandus.
Well, I think here's the problem. When you were dealing with these Alaska Native corporations and a lack of competition, you put them into a position where the normal checks and balances of the marketplace may not have existed in the strongest sense. In other words, as you go out and try and win a competitive award, competitors are looking at the process of the procurement. They're looking at whether their bid is in some way more attractive than the bid of a company like this. So when you take away the Competition and Contracting Act, I think you do increase the possibilities of government fraud.
Now, a lot of information has come out in the last year or so, some recommendations, I think some new policy about contracting officers, technical representatives. They're now called contracting officers, representatives. If there are enough of those people watching out for things on the scene, can this type of thing be reduced?
I actually think that the outright fraud issue is not a large issue numerically in government contracting. There have been a handful of cases in Iraq and in Afghanistan that have been shocking because they're military officers, and we believe that military officers always bring a higher sense of ethic to their work, and I believe that they do, by the way. And so when a serving officer in a war zone does something where he receives a kickback, an outright criminal case, then there's greater concern about it. But I think we probably do a fine job on this. I think the problem is that we often confuse in fraud, waste, and abuse allegations about contractual disputes and cost mischarging as if they're of the same type of fraud as it was experienced in this case. And I think that's where the larger amount of activity and effort is probably appropriately being put. But catching outright criminal fraud is something we ought to be good at as a government, and I think we relatively are.
In most cases of these contractual disputes, it's not intent on the part of the company, but there are just so many procurement rules and so many contract execution rules that companies run afoul inadvertently?
Yeah, but here's the problem. When you charge somebody under the False Claims Act, under civil false claims, you are charging, in effect, that they had an intent to file a false claim or that they were reckless in disregard of the facts when they did it. And so there's a taint to it that I think is damaging in the marketplace, and it's obviously something reputationally that companies, you know, are deeply offended by and also more likely to settle because of the nature of that allegation, because it puts them in the same boat with cretins like these people who got caught, who are actually committing, according to the indictment, criminal acts.
We're speaking with Steve Ryan. He's a partner with McDermott, Will & Emery and head of their Government Strategies Practice Group. Now, for many years, in fact, we said it just last week, that fundamentally the American procurement system and the American civil service system are free of fraud and generally honest, especially when compared with governments around the world. Is that still the case now in 2011 going into 2012?
I believe it to be absolutely the case. I believe that most government servants get up every day and do right by the taxpayers. Here's the problem. Let's take a step back from the truth that the American system is fundamentally sound in terms of fraud. We are going into a period where we have a debilitating focus on trying to deconstruct contracts long after they're entered into and argue, for example, that the government might have driven a different price or a different result if it had had different information. And I'm very worried about that kind of focus and that kind of litigation, because it could lead the American public to believe that we're not honest and that we aren't a system that's filled with integrity. And I think we're headed that way. I think there's pressures to do that, and I think that we need a real examination of the nature of the sort of labels that we put on one another when we do those looks.
Can you give an example of the type of situation where that charge might have come up?
Sure. All of these QI-TAM cases that have resulted in very, very large settlements from information technology companies that have used the multiple award schedule. The Civil Division of the United States Department of Justice has been looking at a lot of those contracts and, in essence, arguing that the government didn't get the right information at the inception when it entered the contract, and if it had had that information, that the government would have gotten a lower price. I find that very troubling because, in effect, what you do is 5, 6, or 11 years after the event, you're trying to deconstruct what were the commercial practices of that company, what data should have been given, as opposed to writing a good contract based on good data at the inception and then not attacking that retrospectively. And I think that's the issue that I'm most concerned about for my clients in the government contracts arena.
So to maintain that fundamental integrity, both on companies' parts and on the federal government's parts, what do we have to do to make sure that stays the case in the long term?
Well, I think the inspector general community has a duty to focus on genuine fraud as its first mission, and second, to look at these other cases that are essentially contract disputes in a different light. And I think the rhetoric around those two different groups of contracts has to be correct. And I think we need strong contracting officers, for example, at agencies like GSA, who act in a consistent fashion all the time with agency guidance, that you don't get a different result from a contracting officer in Kansas City or Texas than you would in Crystal City. And I think those are important issues in contract formation for us to look at.
But fundamentally, isn't it also the way children are raised and educated to become the future workforce that keeps them in a fundamentally honest mode?
Look, I think the American people fundamentally go to work each day, whether you're in government or out, and are honest and hardworking. I mean, there's nobody more hardworking than Americans in the world, and filled with integrity. So, I mean, we start with a workforce, I think, that does business that way. I'm concerned, however, that the way people label or mislabel government contract fraud would lead the public to believe that there's more fraud than there actually is. There's actually very little fraud in United States government contracts.